Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Alef. Begin 11 lines in from the top of the Yamin. We continue it with the next Mishnah, discussing refuah, healing, therapeutic things which are also, which was exerted abundant to do on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins. Hachayshish b'shin, if someone has something bothering him regarding his teeth, lo yigamei ben esachemitz, he should not sip vinegar. Because again, that's healing, that's refuah, that's something that's therapeutic, and that's also to do on Shabbos. Avol metavol hu kedarka, but he could dip his food and his bread into vinegar as he normally would do. Vinisrapin, and he gets healed. And the idea is you can't do something that's obvious. If you're sipping vinegar, what are you doing it for? Obviously, you're doing it to heal your teeth. That's aser to do. But if it's not obvious, if it's the way that normal people eat their food, as we had mentioned previously regarding drinking a hot tea, that although that can be healing for the person's sore throat, if it's not obvious, that's how people drink, that's going to be permitted. Similarly, hachayish b'maslam, if someone has, it's hurting him by his loins, by his waist, he shouldn't smear over there with wine and vinegar, because a person would only smear with wine and vinegar only for healing purposes, and that's obvious for a fool, which is asr. But he could smear the oil, because people normally, even during the weekday, they smear oil. But he can't use rose oil. That's because since it's very expensive and it's not so commonly found, so it's obvious why you're doing it is for refuah, for healing purposes, and therefore that's asr. However, b'nei malachim sochen shemen v'erd al makay sein. Princes, they could smear rose oil on their wound. Shekin darkan losel b'chol, because that's how they do it during the week. Even without a wound, they're very obviously royal, and they use rose oil, which are very expensive, even just like that. And therefore, they're allowed to do that even on Shabbos. All the Jewish people are considered princes, and therefore, everyone is allowed to use rose oil even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rami l'Rav Acha Richa. The Rav Acha, the long one, posed a contradiction to who Rav Acha bar Papa, and who's Rav Acha, the long one, that's Rav Acha bar Papa, Rav Avo. On tonight we learn now Mishnah, Hachoyshish b'shina, but lo yigameh ben ezachemetz. If someone has a toothache, he's not allowed to sip vinegar. Lememra, the chemetz mali l'shaim, so what does it sound like? So why aren't you allowed to do it? Because refuah, so it sounds like that vinegar is helpful for the teeth. But v'akasim, but we learn the pasuk in Mishnah, it says, kachemetz l'shaim, like vinegar to the teeth, and like smoke to the eyes, and the pasuk ends, so is the lazy one for the ones who send him, which sounds like that it's harmful, not helpful. Yet our Mishnah makes it sound like you can't sip vinegar on Shabbos because it's helpful for the teeth. And I think Mishnah is loikash. Because although we use the same term of vinegar, there's two different types of vinegar. Here we're talking about the acrid, the immature part of the fruit, and that is with wine that didn't mature yet, as much as it had to do in the grape, that's harmful for the teeth. Ha, b'chala, here we said that it's good in our Mishnah, that's vinegar, regular vinegar, yeah, that's helpful for the teeth, and that is going to be us to do on Shabbos. V'bay seman, those that say that another answer is, ha, b'chala, now both our Mishnah and the Pasuk are talking about regular vinegar. So why does our Mishnah make it sound like that it's helpful, and the Pasuk initially says harmful? One is talking about that you have a wound, and the other one is talking about that you don't have. As the Gemara explains, if you have a wound, if your teeth are hurting you, then vinegar is helpful. And that's why Mishnah says you're not allowed to sip it directly on Shabbos, because it's obvious doing it for a fool. But the pasuk in Mishnah, but if there is no wound, then it loosens, it shrinks the gums, and the teeth loosen, so it gets far one from the other. That is, as the pasuk in Mishlei says, kachemetz l'shanayim, as vinegar are for the teeth, that's how the lazy person is the one that sends them. It gets loose, it doesn't hold together, and that's if you don't have a wound. So that's the difference. Either we're talking about two different types of vinegar, or we're talking about depending if you have a wound, if something's bothering you or not. So the Mishnah said, as we just mentioned, l'yigameh ben ezachemetz, if a person has his teeth that are hurting him, he shouldn't sip vinegar. So the Gemara asks, this iser of sipping vinegar on Shabbos is that you're not allowed to sip and then spit it out. Because then it's obvious you're doing it for your food because you're not swallowing it. But however, the Mashmoyis is, and the Brisa says that you're allowed to swallow, you're allowed to sip it and then swallow it because, yeah, I'm just drinking my vinegar slowly. And people sip vinegar. However, our Mishnah makes it sound like you're not allowed to sip it at all. On that, the Gemara says, "I'm a baya ki tnan nami masnit megameya pelznan." When did our Mishnah say that it's usher to sip? It takemend sipping and spitting out. But if you swallow it, it's not a problem because then it looks like regular people how they sip vinegar. Rav Amar, no, afilatema megameya boilea. You could say that our Mishnah that said that it's usher was even talking about that to sip and to swallow, as it says, because it doesn't say anything about spitting out. So even if you're swallowing, it's going to be usher. So how to resolve the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa? Khan, by the Brisa that says that it's mutter if you're swallowing it, was lefnei tibul, before the dipping, which is a term given before you eat your meal. Then it's mutter, because the derech were people that they would dip into the vinegar by every day when they would eat the meal, and whoever sees it sees, oh, he's just dipping in for his meal, he's getting started for the meal. Khan, but our Mishnah that says that it's usher to sip even if you're swallowing was talking about after the meal. So after the meal, everyone knows why you're sipping vinegar. You already ate your meal. Obviously, you're doing it for a refuah. That's why it's usher. So therefore, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are, although they're both talking about sipping and swallowing, and the Braisa says it's mutter, and the Mishnah says usher is because it depends if it's before the meal or after the meal. And that's Gemara asks, v'neima, but Rava should say, the lifnei tibul shari, from the fact that before the meal it's permitted, which is the case of the Braisa, that we said because people don't think that you're doing it for refuah because you're swallowing and you're getting your meal started. So then la'achar tibul namishari, so then after the meal that we said, although that you're swallowing it, it's usher because why are you sipping vinegar? You're done with your meal. You already had your dessert, your ice cream. You're not going to sip vinegar. So obviously you're doing it for refuah. But from the fact that it's mutter before the meal, it should be mutter even after the meal. As the Gemara says, Dishamine le Rava disle hoil. As you know elsewhere, that Rava says the concept of hoil, that since, as the Gemara explains. The Amar Rava, lekim midi de b'Shabbos shari b'Yom Kippur asa. There is nothing that is mutter on Shabbos, but that on Yom Kippur would be asa. And the reason is, hoil since the b'Shabbos shari b'Yom Kippur namishari. Since it's mutter on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur it's always also going to be mutter. That is, there's nothing that's usher for part of the Shabbos and mutter for the other part of the Shabbos. Because Rava says in Masechtas Beah, that he says regarding tefillah immersing on Shabbos, that since in such a case that we find that you're not allowed to tevil, you're not allowed to immerse kelim vessels on Shabbos, because it's considered a type of a tikkun, it's fixing the keli that you could use it. But a person could tevil, could immerse on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that, why can't you immerse a kelim? So Rabbi says, as we said, because it looks like you're fixing the kelim. But a person doesn't look like you're fixing the kelim, which us are to do on Shabbos. Rather, it looks like you're just cooling off. So on that, the Gemara says over there, that that's very good by Shabbos, where you're allowed to do rechitza, you're allowed to bathe. But Yom Kippur, where rechitza bathing is usher, and everyone knows that now you're doing it for tefillah purposes, not for rechitza, which is usher, so therefore you're fixing yourself. So what are you going to say over there? There you should say that it's usher because of gzera that you might come to be masakin, let's say the hide of a deer. And that the Rabbi says over there that there's nothing that's going to be that's isra of Shabbos, that in Shabbos is mutter and Yom Kippur is going to be usher. And since on Shabbos we're not going to usher, so Yom Kippur also we're not going to make a gzer on it. So therefore what we see from Rabbi is that not to make any difference regarding before the meal or after the meal, because if there is a certain scenario that it's mutter, so then we say the concept of hoyle, that since it's mutter over there, it's mutter over here also. As we find the Gemara says regarding Shabbos, that you can't say it's usher for part of it or mutter for the other part of it, as we find by Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So therefore, how could we say that to resolve the Braisa and the Mishnah that one is talking about before the meal, where then it's mutter, it's not obvious, but after the meal it's going to be usher? It's not true. We say hoyle, that since it's mutter before the meal, the sipping of the vinegar and swallowing it, so too after the meal. And that the Gemara says, hod debei rava mehach. Rava already retracted his opinion that he said before the meal and after the meal. And he says, Pshat in our Mishnah is as Abaye says, that the Isra of sipping the vinegar is only if you spit it afterwards. But however, his opinion that he said regarding sipping and that it was even usher by swallowing, because talking about after the meal, he retracted it, as we said over there, because of the Svar of Hoyle, that since it's mutter before the meal, so it's going to be mutter also after the meal. To which the Gemara asked, how do we know Rav retracted his opinion of explaining the resolving the contradiction between our Mishnah and our Braisa? Maybe he retracted from that over there, and that he holds that Yom Kippur would be usher to Tovah on Yom Kippur, because you don't say Hoyil, and that is what he said. And that is what he said first. However, after he explained the resolution of the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Braisa, he retracted from the Svar of Hoyil. And then the Gemara says, Loi Sagadat, you can't say that. Can't say he retracted his Svar of Hoyil. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, Kol Chayiv Tvilus Tovlin Kedarkan Bein Betespa of Bein Yom Kippur, that whoever is obligated is Mechuyiv in a Tvila, in immersion, Tovels as their regular way, whether on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, where Rechitza is Asur. However, since it's for Tvila purposes, that's not considered Rechitza. So there, obviously, we say the Svar of Hoyel, that although it should be Asur, because there we can't say that looks like you're cooling off, and therefore we should say it's Asur because it's like Mesak and Dekli, here you're fixing the person. However, in spite of that, we don't, because since on Shabbos is Mutter, Yom Kippur is also going to be Mutter, so you see that in the Braisa explicitly, the concept of Hoyle, so the Rava obviously couldn't retract from that, so obviously he retracted from his opinion of explaining our Mishnah and our Braisa, that it's if you're sipping and swallowing it, according to everybody, before the meal, after the meal, it's going to be Mutter, and everyone holds like a Baya, that when is it Usher? It's only as the Braisa says, if you sip it and then you spit it out, because then it's obvious that you're doing it for refuah. So he also said in the Mishnah, HaChishish B'masnav, someone that has some pain on in his loins. And then the Mishnah continued, and had a machloikis regarding Shemen Vered, regarding rose oil. if it's mutter for regular people to smear that on their body, on where it's hurting them on Shabbos or not. So Amr Abba Brazav de Amr Rav, Halacha Krib Shimon, Halacha Krib Shimon, that everyone in Klal Yisrael is considered a prince and is allowed to smear themselves with shemen vary with rose oil. To which the Gemara asks, this was Rav saying that Halacha is like Krib Shimon. The Mehmet Rav Krib Shimon Tzvirile, is this to say that Rav holds like Krib Shimon regarding the leniencies that Krib Shimon holds regarding the Halachas of Shabbos? But V'amar Rav Simi Bar Chiyah Mishmei de Rav, regarding this, the stopper of the barrel. That is a certain garment that they would twist around the faucet of a barrel made out of earthenware because the hole wasn't even. So we continue on to Amud Beis where the Gemara says, Asur lahaduka b'yamitava. You're not allowed to stick it in, squeeze it in on Yom Tov, into the hole because of schita, of squeezing it out, because the juice that's there is going to be squeezed out of that garment. In spite of the fact that you're not intending to squeeze it out, you just want to stuff up the hole. So obviously, Rav that Paskins that Halacha does not hold the Krib Shimon by what's called Davish Ein Miskavan, something that you're not intending to do. Rav Shimon holds that as Mutter. So obviously, regarding the leniencies of Shabbos, Rav does not hold the Krib Shimon. So how can we say over here that Rav holds like Halacha is like Krib Shimon regarding the leniencies of Halachas of Shabbos, that although the Chachamim say that Shemen Verit is usher to smear on the body, Rav is saying that Halacha is like Krib Shimon? That the Gemara says, Bahi Afil Rav Shimon Maid. No, it's not true. Rav holds like Krib Shimon. So why are you not allowed to stick in stuff in the stopper of the barrel of this garment if it's going to be squeezing it out unintentionally, which is Ein Meskaven, Reb Shimon holds his mutter? Here, Reb Shimon would agree that it's Aser. Because both Abaya and Rava both say that Reb Shimon agrees that although if it's unintentional, it's mutter, but if it's something that's inevitable, which is a term of chop, which is a term they give that you chop off the head of the chicken and it's not going to die. Yes, I'm not intending to kill it. I just want the head. But if it's inevitable, of course, that's going to be usser. So here we're squeezing the garment where it's inevitable that some of the juice is going to be squeezed out. That even Reb Shimon would agree that it's usser. So therefore, it's not shver. You could still say that Rav holds like Reb Shimon, and that case does not contradict it. Push the Gemara, but asks. And this is Rav saying explicitly, Halacha Reb Yehuda. Halacha follows Reb Yehuda by Davash Meskaven, by something that was not intended, that it's Asr. So you see explicitly that Reb Chiya Bar Ashi says in the name of Rav, like Reb Yehuda and Rav Chana Bar Ami, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Reb Shimon. That we have this machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, if the halacha is like Reb Shimon or Reb Yehuda. And Rav says, like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Shimon. And Rav Chiya Bar Avin Masni Labaloi Gavi, he says over this tradition of the Machlokes Rav Shmuel without other people, without Amiram saying in the name of Rav Shmuel, rather they themselves argued in it, as he had his tradition that Rav Om Halacha Krib Yehuda, Bishmuel Om Halacha Krib Shimon. So therefore, how can we say that Rav says Halacha Krib Shimon regarding the leniencies of Shabbos when we say explicitly that Rav passed like Krib Yehuda by the leniencies of Shabbos, Lachumer, that Davishin Meskaven is Asa. Rather, Rav says, me and the line of the group of the Talmid Chacham will translate this. That is, that it shouldn't be difficult, the two opinions of Rav, that on the one hand he says like Reb Yehuda, on the other hand in our Mishnah he says Allah is like Reb Shimon. Uman, and who is this Arisha Bechabur, the line of the group? That's Reb Chiya Bar Avin. So me and him will interpret that shouldn't be contradiction. Halacha Krib Shimon, when Rav said in our Mishnah that halacha is like Krib Shimon, that it's permitted to smear even with rose oil, however, v'lav mitamei, but not because of his reasoning, not because of like Krib Shimon that he is lenient regarding the halachas of Shabbos, because Rav does not hold like Krib Shimon, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but although in this case he holds the halachas like him, but it's not because of his reasoning, as the Gemara explains. My halacha Krib Shimon v'lav mitamei, what does this mean? That the halacha follows Krib Shimon, but not based on his reasoning. Ilema halacha Krib Shimon de Shari. If you're going to say halacha is like Krib Shimon, that it's mutter to use the rose oil. V'lav mitame, but not based on this reasoning. The il Krib Shimon sover masi, because Krib Shimon holds that it heals, and in spite of that, he holds his mutter because of his svara that he's makel regarding the certain leniencies of Shabbos. Because you can't say that it's mutter for the prince and usher for this person, and since it's mutter for some people, so therefore it's going to be mutter even for regular people. So therefore, that would be from the leniencies of Krib Shimon. However, v'rav sover loy masi. Rav holds that it doesn't heal, and that's why it's mutter to use the rose oil. So, although he's passing halachas like Reb Shimon that you could use rose oil, but not because of the leniencies of Reb Shimon that this svara, because some people could use it, so everyone could use it. Rather, you could use it because it's not a refuah, so there's no problem refuah on Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, the Sava Rav Lemasi, does really Rav hold that it doesn't heal? But from the fact that our Mishnah says that the Tanakama says, who argues in Mishnah, says that but the princes, they're allowed to smear the rose oil on their wounds on Shabbos. Mechal Demasi, obviously that it does heal, that even according to the Kama, because if it doesn't heal, so for what purpose are we saying that the princes could smear it on their wound if it doesn't heal? So obviously everyone really holds that it does heal. So therefore, what does it mean, halacha like Rabbi Shimon, but not based on his reasoning? If it's not based on his reasoning, why are you allowed to use the rose oil if it heals? El halacha like Rabbi Shimon d'shar. Rather, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that it's permitted. But not based on his reasoning, the ilu Rabbi Shimon savor afagav gli shchiachshar, because Rabbi Shimon says that even if it's not commonplace, that's not common to be found, the rose oil in the place of the person that's smearing it, and it's expensive, and everybody knows that the only reason why you're going to smear it is for refuah. On that, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter because of his svar that he says in the Mishnah, because all the Jews are considered princes. They're all b'nei malacha. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's aser, because it's obviously doing for refuah. And Rav also holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The only difference was that Rav said that it's mutter because in his place that he said that it's mutter is because it was common to smear rose oil. It was to be found. And therefore, it's not obvious that you're doing it for refuah. As the Gemara says, Rav Saber, Ishchiach in, Ve'ilo Ishchiach loy. That if it's commonly found, then you're allowed to use the rose oil. And if it's not, then you're not allowed to. Which is not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you're always allowed to use it, even if it's not common, because he doesn't have this problem of the fact that it's obvious for refuah. Because we're all princes, and princes always use it. However, the Gemara says, "Asid Rav Shchiach Mishchad Devarda." When Rav said that Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, which means that you're allowed to use the rose oil, it was only because in the place where he was passing this halacha, it was common to use the rose oil, and that's why he says Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter to be used, but not based on his reasoning, because even when it's not common, because of his svara, they were all princes. Rather, I passing him, Rav says like Rabbi Yehuda that the leniencies of Shabbos not like Rabbi Shimon, rather it's chomer, but he's allowed to use it because it is common, and therefore it's not obvious that you're using for refuah. Hanulach Shmoneh Shratzim, we shall return to you, Perek Shmoneh Shratzim, the 14th Perek in Masechta Shabbos. Now we begin the 15th Perek in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Ve'elu Kasher. So the Mishnah talks about the halachas of kosher matter, tying knots and untying knots, which are also to do on Shabbos. As the Mishnah begins, Ve'elu Kasharim Shechayov Nelein, these are the knots where a person is liable on them, that they are counted by the Av Malachas, as it says in the Mishnah over there, HaKosher V'HaMater, that someone that ties and unties a Kesher Shel Kayama, a knot that is there to last, that you never open it up, which is similar to the Malacha, how we learn that all the Malachas of Shabbos from the Malachas done by the Mishkan, which they would tie the threads of the ureas of the curtains that if they got ripped, so they had to tie on these knots to knot it up, which was never meant to be undone because the ureas were there to stay forever. So what are these types of knots that you chayef for? Kesha ha-gamolin v'kesha ha-safan. These are the knots of the camel drivers and of the sailors, which the Gemara is going to explain what exactly they are, but those are knots that are meant to stay, and therefore that's a kesha shakayama that you chayef for. So the Mishnah says, the kushim chu chayef al-kishurin, and just like you're liable for making these types of knots, so too you're liable for untying these types of knots. As the Gemara and player called Godol on Daf Ein Dalam and Beis learns from those who would trap the chilazin, which was a type of a snail or a fish, that they needed to sometimes untie the knots of the nets that were there, either to make it smaller or to make it wider and larger. So therefore, that was also part of the way they would use it for the Mishkan, that they needed the chilazin for the blood to use as a dye. So not only would they knot, they would also unknot it. So therefore, we learn that from the Malachas of the Mishkan, that Yechaya for both for knotting and for unknotting these Kesharim Shel Kayama that are there to stay. And Meir Mirmei says, Kol Kesher Shel Yochel Atir Ba'achas Miyadav, any knot that you could undo with one of your hands, that means that you didn't tie it so tight, in Chayav and Love, for that type of a knot, even if you make it that it shall last, you're not liable for it, for making a Kesher Shel Kayama, because since you could undo it with one hand, that means it's not a Kesher Shel Kayama of an eternal knot. Now the Gemara asks, on the first case of our Mishnah, that we said that you're liable for Kesha Gamolin and Kesha Safanin, the Gemara asks, my Kesha Gamolin and Kesha Safanin, what are the knots of the camel drivers and the knot of the sailors that we said that these are knots that they're there to stay forever, that you're going to be liable for making a knot on Shabbos? Ilema Kachra de Kachra Bizmama, if it's talking about the knots that they would knot on the nose rings, and that is they would take this halter, they would make a hole in it in the nose of the camel, and they would put in a ring made out of a strap, and they would knot it over there, and that would stay in the nose forever. And they would, when they wanted to tie down the animal, they would tie a long strap into that ring, which is also made out of a strap, and they would tie it onto that nose ring. and sometimes they would untie it from there. And so therefore, if we're saying that it's talking about the knot that they would make in the nose ring, meaning the long strap that they would tie onto the nose ring that was always there, or and the other case of the Sela, Uktara de Kachabi Astadrida, and the knot that they would knot in the Astadrida, which is also a type of a ring that they make out of a strap in the hole in the tip of the boat, in the ship. And that knot would always stay there. And when you wanted to keep the ship in one place, to dock, so then they would tie a long string into that string that was always there, and that would keep it there. And when they wanted to undo it, so they would take off the long string from that knot, that string, that ring of string that was always there in the ship. So if we're talking about the long strap, which was tied onto the ring of strap that was always there, these two cases, Haikesha Shein Shokoyamahu, they're both knots that are not eternal knots. Because as we explained, both regarding the camel and regarding the ship, there's two types of knots that are made. There's a knot of the ring itself that's in the nose of the camel, and it's also in the head of the ship. Those always stay there. But then there's another strap that's knotted onto that strap, to that knot, that's something when you want to dock or when you want to keep the animal in its place, where that's put on sometimes and taken off sometimes when you're leaving. So therefore, how could it be that type of knot, the second of the long strap, if that's not a kesher shakayama? So therefore, the Gemara says you're right. Elekitra is a mama gufa, rather talking about the knot of the nose ring itself, udistradi gufa, and of the ring of the ship itself, that those are things that are there to stay. And that's why you're chayef for making that knot, if you do it that knot on Shabbos, because that is a kesher shakayama. So our Mishnah said from Remeya that Remeya mekol kesher, that any knot that you could open up with one hand, that you put up, because obviously that's something that's not tight enough, and that's not a kesher. I mean, that's not there. Although you're doing it to leave it there forever, that's not considered an eternal knot. So the Gemara has Boyer of Achtava, Achu de Maracha, the brother of Maracha, Aniva, regarding a bow, which is you where you made the bow very tight. Remeya mahu, according to Remeya, what would be the halacha? That is timid, Remeya, Mishum de Yochel Atir Ba'achz Miyadavu. The reason why Remeya says that you putter on a regular knot, however, but since you could undo it with one hand, that will make it mutter. V'hanami Yochel Atir, and here also you could undo the bow with one hand, and therefore it should be mutter. You shouldn't be chai for making the bow on Shabbos. Idilma timid, Remeya, Mishum Dili Mahadik. Or maybe the reason of Remeya was really not because you could undo it with one hand. That's just a simon. The reason is because obviously it means that you didn't do it so tight. But the bow is tight, and therefore maybe you should be chayiv, that it should be considered kesher shakayama on Shabbos. And then let's take a let it stand, because on the one hand, it has one property of it, the case that he spoke about, on the other hand, it doesn't have a property, and therefore it's not clear what it would hold regarding a bow, because on the one hand, you could undo it with one hand, but on the other hand, it is tight, so maybe it would be considered a kesher shakayama. Now the following Mishnah continues with exemptions regarding making knots on Shabbos. There are certain knots that you're not liable for making as you were liable in the previous mission of making the knots of the camel drivers and the knots of the sailors. Rather, here it's going to be potter aval aser. You're not going to be chayav achates, it'll be exempt, but it's going to be asim jabban. And the Gemara is going to explain what these cases are. So the Mishnah continues, Kesheres isha miftach chaluka. A woman could tie a knot of the opening of her shirt. That is, they would have some like a strings going from one shoulder to the other, and they would tie the right one on the left shoulder and the left one on the right shoulder. And since every day she opens it up, so that has no similarity at all to a kesher shakayama of an eternal knot. And therefore, even look at chili, a lot to do that, it's permissible on Shabbos because it's not something to stay. Similarly, b'chutis svacha, the strings of a hat, b'shal p'sikya, and of a girdle, that's it's a, like a wide type of a belt to have strings coming down from the top to tie with. Virtsuis minl basandal, and the laces and the straps of shoes and sandals, the noidis yain vishemen, and the flasks of wine and oil, where they're made out of hide, where you fold over the opening inside and you knot it on the top. Vikter shalbasar, and a pot of meat, where sometimes they would tie a garment on top of the pot. All these cases are mutter to do on Shabbos because they're all meant to be constantly open and closed, and therefore it's not a kesher shakayama at all. It has no similarity at all. It's not like the first case of a Mishnah which says that it's potter aval aser, that it has at least ism rabban, and these cases are mutter even like a tchila. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov oimer, kesher lefnei abehema, you're allowed to also tie in front of an animal to take a string in the width of the opening, b'shvil shelo teitze, to stop it from coming out. That's also considered a case that's mutter. Now the Gemara asks, an internal problem with our Mishnah. Hagufa kasha. Amrit yesh kesharin shein chayov nilein kikesh hagamol u kikesh hasaman. Our Mishnah started off that by saying that there are certain knots that you're not liable for a chatas, as we have by the previous Mishnah of the knots of the camel drivers and the knots of the sailors. So the inference is chiyuvahu deleka, that there's only no liability of a chatas ha'isur ikka, but yeah, it's pater avalasa, but there is at least a iser d'abanan that you, initially you're not allowed to do it, but just if you do it, you're not going to get a chatas. Then the Mishnah goes on and says, "Kesheres isha miftach haluka," that a woman is allowed to tie the opening of her shirt. Even leketchila, that is not part of law. So that even there's no problem at all, even initially. How does that resolve itself? You're first saying that these are the cases that are part of law, and then you say, "Well, this is mutter even leketchila." The Rishon Gemara says it's two different cases. Hachi kama. Yesh kesharin she'in chayav nalein kekesh agamol nekekesh asvan. Our Mishnah starts off by saying there are knots that you're not liable for it, as we have by the knots of the camel drivers and the knots of the sailors, but that it will be also like a chilu. Umaynu, and what are these cases which are not spoken out and explicit in our Mishnah? We continue on to the top of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Those are kitru de karchi bismama. These are the knots that you're not in the nose ring, as we spoke about in the previous Mishnah. These are the long straps that you tie, that you put into the ring that's there. And similarly, with kitru de karchi bistarida, these are the knots that you're not onto the ship's ring, which we said chiyuvahu deleka. There is no liability, because we said those are things that you don't leave there forever. It's only when you want to tie down the ship or tie down the animal to the place. But isur ikabu, those cases, there is at least initially isur midrabanan, that like tchili, you can't go ahead and tie it there. And the reason is because it is somewhat similar to a kesher shel kiyum, because sometimes you leave it there for the boat, you're docking it for a week or 2 weeks, and although you tie it and you untie one part of it, you'll do only the other part of the post where it was tied to. But you'll leave the long strap there coming out of the nose of that ring or from the boat. You'll leave the strap hanging there. You won't take it off, because you'll just take it off from where you docked or from where you had the post. So therefore there, since it has some type of similarity, although there's no chiyuv because it's not real kesher kiyum, but it will be us leketchila. On that, the Mishnah continues, v'yesh mitam leketchila. And then there are also cases, not only that pater v'lasa, but that they're even initially mutter, they're permissible to do. And what are those? That's what the Mishnah continues with all these different cases, kesheres miftech chaluka, that she could tie the opening of her shirt, etc., and all the different cases where there has no similarity at all, because there it's open every single day, and that's why you're allowed to do it even like ketchila. So we have three different type of cases. We have the previous Mishnah, which says that it's asa to do in yechayev achatas. Then we had the first case of a Mishnah, which had somewhat of a middle type of ground, that it's potav al aser, where there, because you might leave it on for an extended period of time, so it has somewhat of a similarity. And then we have the last cases of our Mishnah, which has no similarity at all, because it's open every single day, like shoes, and therefore it's going to be mutter, even like a tchilah.